but there are issues that we missed. We didn't have that opportunity to engage with them. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee. As you say, it's a little bit of a repetition because this is a report that was concluded for the end of last financial year, but nevertheless it is business that we have to conclude. We do have our, as normal, our executive here to present to you and ask any questions or answer any questions that there might be. What I have tried to do, though, is in the course of the presentation and towards the end of it in particular, and it was in your pack, is to try and update you on some of the more important activities of the HDA. I won't deal with the first couple of slides because they really are areas that you know in terms of who we are, what our major focuses are around acquisition of land and project management support, and the various programs that we are involved in. Some of the highlights of the last financial year is that we are looking at financial sustainability, and the HDA has diversified its income with some funding, the majority of funding still coming from the National Department grant, and some money now started coming from services provided by the provinces. We've signed a number of implementation protocols with provinces and local authorities, and of course it's increasingly in the provinces and the local authorities that our actual work is starting to happen, and that's a very pleasing development. In particular, we signed with Limpopo and Free State provinces, and we now have offices in those two provinces. So in fact, as we stand at the moment, if you include the Johannesburg office, the HDA has 5 offices, and looks like it's moving towards the opening of a 6th because of the work that we're encountering. On the land issue, last year we indicated what we have asked for release, both from custodian departments of state and state-owned, what last year were enterprises are now companies, and also on privately owned land. And of course that remains the big issue, is that somebody else owns the land, we have to get it. And in that sense, we remain, perhaps it's too strong a word, but we remain beggars, because we essentially have to ask other people to give us. We technically are able to get to a point where somebody has to make the decision, and it's that point that we find a delay between what we've identified and what we actually get across into the development cycle. We're doing a lot of work with the department's NUS program. There are a number of HDA publications that have been launched, and we will be giving you copies of those before we leave. And in the two major projects, Anambula and the N2, we continue to deliver at a relatively high standard. Let me go through the macro indicators in some detail. Here, our major macro indicator was the amount of land and property identified. The target was 8,000 hectares. We identified way beyond that. And if you go through the extreme right-hand column, you'll see that we identified 35,000 hectares of land. We got 11 hectares released in KZN. We've got 1,000 hectares released or approved for release in the city of Johannesburg, of which 756 have already been released. 3,000 hectares at this stage last year were with the Department of Rural Development, and we've asked for 13.5 hectares from various state departments. You will see, as I take you through the achievements this year, that the delivery rate has substantially improved from what is reported here. In terms of actual properties acquired, we were targeting 30 portions. Last year we had identified and we had actually taken occupation of 2 portions, or registration of 2 portions rather, and a number of other portions were in the process of being identified and transferred. Again, I'll be able to update you on what was a, not a particularly good record in that particular area. That's land that's gone directly into our name as opposed to land that has been transferred into the names of provincial or local authorities. In terms of support for various projects around the country, we have been working with 42 provinces, municipalities, and national departments with capacity and technical support. So we are doing better than our target in terms of the number of programs that we are supporting around the country. And again, that's particularly significant in some provinces, particularly where we have medium-term operational plans signed with them. Perhaps the most prominent of those are the Free State and Limpopo, but we're also working very closely with the Northern Cape, the Western Cape, and the Eastern Cape, and the Northwest, for that matter. Intergovernmental protocols are the basis of our work. We enter into agreements with various local or provincial authorities. Our target for last year was 15. We achieved 12. On the right-hand side, you'll see all the groups that we are involved with and engaged with at one level or another. We have managed to better that in this financial year. Just from an overview point of view, we received an unqualified audit report for the year, and that means that all of the three audits that have been conducted so far have all been unqualified. We've got particular attention at the issue of supply chain management, which is a concern within the sector, within government as a whole, and there are improved reporting systems and procedures. The year before, we didn't have a manager of corporate services, and that's now been appointed. We run the HDA on the basis of a performance management system, and evaluations are conducted twice a year, and communications and marketing activities continue to brand the HDA as what we believe is a credible, professional, and responsive organization. From the point of view of personnel, we then had 103 people in our employ, in full-time employ. That's now moved to 105. A large percentage of them are professional practitioners, and 50% of the staff are women and 85% are black. I should mention, Madam Chair, that 98% of our executive and 98% of the board, which you recently, I think, were involved in appointing because it's a new board, are also female. IGR is a core program, although we've changed the way we're operating in that format this year. We've had a range of meetings across the country, and we have now finalized protocols with KZN Northwest. I've mentioned the operational programs. We operate at two levels. We establish a protocol, which is a format type of agreement. It basically says what we do and who we meet with and how we manage it. And then we try to establish a program, a medium-term operational program, which is used to be mainly a three-year program. The more recent ones are five-year programs, we're pleased to say, because provinces are accepting five-year agreements with us to do a range of things. So the operational program details exactly what we're going to do for the next 3 to 5 years, and it covers the range of our activities around land assembly, program management, GIS-type activities, a whole range of support that we are giving to provinces and local authorities increasingly. We've talked about the land acquisition and management, and we've done quite a lot of work in that area in terms of preparing land for development. I must say, Madam Chair, that again we've moved in our thinking to say that it's no good looking at the beginning of the process. We actually now have to look at the end of the process. So we're not saying just identify the land. That land has to have an end point with a number of units and outcome. We're wanting to measure impact rather than outcome, if you like. And to say, firstly, that land has to be identified, but it has to be linked into a program that the province or the local authority has for an end product. and that has to be linked into whatever the national programs are, and that's increasingly our focus from now on, and hopefully we will see results in that respect over the next few years. We're working very strongly in the Northwest. We now have two specific projects where we're unblocking them in Bela Bela and in Polokwane. We directly manage 11 properties, and our GIS systems, NASDI and Lapsus, are being extensively used. Currently on those systems we have, I think it's 130 users in the different provinces who are coming in independently and utilizing the system to help them identify where land is, what they want to do with that land, how to locate it in their SDFs and planning plans for their own provinces or local authorities. That's just a list of the provinces of the properties that we have. That's again been updated, and I'll be able to tell you a bit more later on. Those are two examples of the land and property systems. On the left, you have Lapsus, which is really a database of information. On the right, you have NASLI, which is starting to be able to do things like, say, let's take a piece of land, let's identify what the environmental issues are, what the population. These things are now linked, for example, to the census, so we're able to say people are on this number of people are on this land, or they're on this side of the city, on that side of the city. We're able to identify the environmental issues. We're increasingly be able to identify the geotechnical issues. So these are becoming very sophisticated tools and are being recognized and used as such in the provinces and the local authorities. That all had to do with our land acquisition and planning programs. I'm talking a little bit about the projects. From an informal settlement point of view, I hope in your research you went and looked at the NUSP website, which is a website that the HCA has assisted the National Department to support. And we have then been working with NUSP in a range of provinces. We've also worked in developing an emergency housing solutions booklet, which we have a copy of here. We've done some stuff on inner city development and provided a case study there. We're working on slow-moving or block projects. And in the final dot, you will see that we've done some work on two projects that have been blocked for some time in the Northwest, Bela Bela and Vendor. And again, I've made mention of them. In Zanavula, we have worked in those areas. In the next slide or two, I will indicate to you where we're at in the last year. But we had done in the multipurpose centre, we'd actually completed the Soweto on C1. It was opened by the minister. We actually, as a result of that, have now got a contract with the province to do another one in Chatty, which we're very pleased about. And then in terms of the actual servicing and development of projects, those are the figures relating to Zanavula last year. And these are some of the pictures. I believe you would have seen some of them as well. In the N2 Gateway, these are the statistics. Both projects remain difficult from a community participation point of view. Or community involvement point of view, in the sense that there are significant conflicts within communities. Sometimes we get caught in internal political conflicts. For example, in Boys Town at this point in time, as a result of some of the conflicts there, we've had to involve the city's security unit. In fact, the project is being done under their watchful eye, and at times we even have to withdraw because of the concerns about violence in the project. But let me also say that for the first time, I think Boys Town has now been unlocked for development, and there is significant development happening there already. These are some of the pictures of the N2 Gateway, and again, the minister opened the Judge Lover Phase 3 in the early part of last year. There are some pictures of Limpopo. From a financial point of view, again, if you compare the previous year to this year, or to the last year, our assets moved from 150,000 to 209, sorry, 150 million to 209 million, and we are currently at 289 million. Those are all allocated funds. While it looks like a good balance sheet, and it is, all those funds are allocated for projects of one kind or another. From the point of view of financial performance, again, our operating revenue went up from 82 million in 2011 to 111 million in 2012. As of February this year, it's at 123 million. And then if you look at the bottom figures, in terms of expenditure, our expenditure went up from 3.3 million, no, that can't be that, from, sorry, 76 million at the bottom to 100 million, and currently our expenditure is at 108 million. The surpluses that we achieved there, 18 million and 17 million, we were predicted to get a surplus of 14 million this year. All those surpluses will go back into the acquisition of properties, and again, to make the point, that's the only money that we have independently to acquire property. We are using that currently for the acquisition of properties out of the Servcon portfolio, so that at the end of the next financial year, that will come down to a very low figure. There won't be surpluses because they will be plowed into properties. That's the report up to the end of March 2012. Let me just, with your permission, go through two slides which deal with where we're at the moment. From an identification process, we've identified 68 hectares of state-owned land. We have, and this is a major improvement on last year, we have facilitated the release of 688,000 hectares of publicly owned land, and this now exceeds the outcome 8 target of 6250. In terms of land holdings, we took ownership of two buildings from Servcon, which are big buildings in the inner city of Johannesburg, and they're being put out into the social housing sector for affordable rental. I've mentioned already about the Lapsus and Nasley systems, which are working with not only our own staff, but also in the provinces. These are the updated figures from the point of view of the two big projects, Anabula and the N2. We have developed 11,000 units to date. There's a remaining balance of 2,965 to be completed in the N2, mainly in Boystown, if I'm not mistaken, Boystown and Joslobo. In Zanambula, we have done 3,647. The remaining balance is 6,803. From the point of view of informal settlement upgrade, we work in Limpopo, the Free State and Northern Cape, under the NUSP and UISP program, and there are now proposals to upgrade 10 sites that have been made to provinces. Clearly what we do is facilitate. We're always working with the partner. We're not an independent agent in any way, shape, or form. I wanted to raise the issue of beneficiary administration because often one forgets about that element of the work. And subsidy administration and beneficiary administration are things that have to be done well. And in particular around security of tenure, we have made a point of ensuring that people who are processed in the project that we're working on do get their title deeds. And so we have 4,000 people who have already got their title deeds. Another 1,888 are waiting to be handed over, and 1,543 properties are awaiting registration. But I merely wanted to point out that there are smaller, but activities which don't get your attention because they don't result in the top structure or the land, but they nevertheless are very important in ensuring that people get the benefit of those activities. From a operational and IGR point of view, we now have 13 implementation protocols with provinces and local authorities and to some extent institutions around the country. We're working under a operational plan with Limpopo in the Free State and are in the process of negotiating those with the Western Cape and the Northern Cape. We've got two regional offices operating in Polokwane and Mangaung, and we intend to open one more probably this year. We have operated within the grant and other funds provided, and we've achieved clean audits since inception. The priority housing development areas has been developed, and I understand will now be presented to you on the 13th, Madam Chair. That's the overview, and what I'm going to do is just let some pictures float past your consciousness while we take questions.
Omen, Steve, Tole.
Chairperson, thanks. Let me thank the CEO for his presentation. I think now we are all smiling because the HDA seems to be doing right things. I don't know what is it that I'm going to ask here. And also thank for the unqualified audit opinion. That is what we want for all the entities of the departments and all the departments as lawmakers. So, on your macro indicators, you mentioned 42 provinces, municipalities, and this national department. What do you mean by 42 provinces? Is it HDA language? So, and also that you have two regional offices in two provinces, which is Limpopo, Limpopo and Free State. What about the other provinces, especially those that are vast? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Actually, it doesn't really matter who goes first. But I want to say, you know, this is quite boring. But I also want to say, I sense a tremendous pride in the work that you people are doing in HDA, and I think that makes a huge difference. And it comes across here in your report. And, I mean, it wasn't only unqualified, it was a clean audit. You've got your predetermined objectives, your compliance with the laws and regulations. I mean, I couldn't find anything in this boring report to actually hold you to account on. But, however, I want to just ask. That's not a big thing, small things. You talk about NASP. I'm very interested in this because after the third quarter report of the National Department a couple of weeks ago, they reported a 2% spend on the budget here. What actually is your involvement? You know, you work with, you work in partnership with. So where's the money being spent if you've got such a successful operation here? So perhaps between the department and yourselves we'll get an answer on that. And then the other thing that I'd like to just ask you, whilst you are, you know, now, and I think, you know, you're on projects, and but still the land things, you know, are of concern. We are still getting provinces, municipalities that are not working with you. Now, do you, you've got everything at your fingertips. How do you obviously can't force yourself on people, but how do they know? Some of them don't even seem to know. They're struggling to purchase the piece of land, and then we say to them, but you know, there's HDA, and they kind of just look at you. So, you know, what is that working? I had to find something to ask you. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Chair. At least this entity is managing its internal affairs quite well. And they are putting all the mechanisms, especially in supply chain management, because there's the Achilles of the whole human settlement. It's supply chain management. There's a problem there. but it's good to see that you are managing it well. Let me ask you, have you got consultants? What is this other operating revenue means, other operating expenses? What does it mean? Have you got consultants that you are using? And can you certify this 6,880 land that you have assembled? Where is it? Because the issue I have is that you seem not to be going to these big cities and getting land where it's supposed to be. I'm talking about your Pretorias of this world, your Cape Town, Etegwini, in the prime land, I think you have a serious challenge there. Can you stratify the 6880? Where is it? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My Chair, just one question. On land, about the land that was transferred, the land hectares of Department of Public Works, it shows there's 1,068. But according to the Public Works, they transferred 61,000 land to human settlement. What wish is wish? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to say thank you for the presentation. And I actually want to start off by saying that gender equality is a constitutional imperative, and I want to congratulate you that you're actually achieving that. I just want to ask maybe then when, if not, will you be able to reach your 2% disabled target? Do you have any disabled people in appointed? And then my second one is on Jefferson. I just thought, you know, I would like to combine land per project, per making sure that it is part of the special development framework of a municipality. Is there a possibility that HDA can provide us as the committee with a report? I know it might be a lot of details, but I just think that then we can keep track on knowing exactly in which areas, which province land has been released towards what project. We can link it to the SDF, so when provinces and municipalities do come to us, we have all those details to our availability. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been covered by the latter speaker about the land.
Now, I've always had something. I want to check from the properties that we have acquired or purchased from Gauteng. That question, I think, is also linked to social housing. But they must mapole liyes koshala. Is there any property that has been purchased and prepared for cooperatives? Or we have decided to take off properties from cooperatives that are currently running, and then you put them at a disadvantaged situation instead? That was my question. Instead of making sure that those cooperatives, because we know that there's quite a lot of cooperatives in the northwest that are being, because not, those are, were in the northwest and some are in the Gauteng province. So we want to clear that there are no properties who belong to the housing cooperatives, because their scenarios are still addressed, that has been taken away or purchased by HDE. ukwenzela ukuthi abantu bona bangasali behenga. Because it might happen ukuthi ningane interest ukuba you purchase land properties and so on, but you disadvantage or you deny the right of the cooperative to have those properties. Thank you. My thing on my face. Social housing is a good government program, but it's abused now.
I'm not clear with the Zanemvula 2011-2012, the project name, that's Chetu 5 to 15 service sites. Project total 4,301. Target is as none. Nil, and actual on nil. The data to be clear.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to ask each of the general managers who are responsible for those areas to respond, and then I can fill in the gaps. So firstly, if our general manager of projects can respond.
Thank you, Chair. I'll deal with the project-related questions. In terms of the macro indicators, the 42 breaks down into provinces, municipalities, and of course there's only one national department, and it's really relating to the NASP support. In essence, it breaks down to 6 provinces that we're supporting on an ongoing basis, and the balance of the figure relates to the number of municipalities, which in most cases, where we've got an agreement with the province, we tend to work with the district and the municipalities that are in that province quite closely. So the support relates to the 6 provinces and then the municipalities in those provinces in the main that we're working with on an ongoing basis. And that's how the target is made up. It does break down into the 3, but for macro level purposes, they added it up to 42. The 2 regional offices, we have a regional office in the Free State which provides all the HDA services, and we have a regional office in Limpopo that provides all the HDA services. We also have an office in the city of Cape Town here in Vree Street, which is specifically dedicated on the N2 Gateway project, but we are currently discussing with the province and the city for further work so that we can offer all of the HDA services in the province, in this province, and there is land work that is going on over and above the N2 Gateway project in the Western Cape province. In the Eastern Cape, we also have a project office in Port Elizabeth in Nelson Mandela Bay. It deals primarily with Zanemvula, and again, we are discussing with the Eastern Cape province as well as with Buffalo City Metro and Nelson Mandela Metro for additional support work on all the other services that the HDA offers. So those 2 Western Cape into Gateway Zanemvula offices will probably become regional offices as well once we offer all of the services from those offices. And then more recently, the Northern Cape has concluded and signed with us, so there will be an office in the Northern Cape. We are also supporting Rustenburg and the Northwest, so there will most likely also be support being offered from next year through a regional office in that area. So I hope that we are working in the other provinces, but as they take up and we conclude contracts and programs of work with them, then we look at locating regional capacity in those provinces, specifically to focus on the work in the provinces. For the other provinces, they are serviced from our head office, so it's not that they left out. There is ongoing counselor training, engagements, meetings with KZN, with Mpumalanga, with Northwest, with a range of the other provinces. So it's not that the other provinces are by any means left out of the process, or any of the metros are left out of the process. And so that's on the regional offices. On the NUS, the National Upgrading Support Program, in essence, we do that jointly with the National Department of Housing, and we work with the National Department of Housing's team on all NASP activities. We specifically are responsible for Limpopo and Free State and support in Limpopo and Free State. We are jointly supporting Northwest and Northern Cape. What the HDA is doing, where we are responsible, we do rapid assessments, we do enumerations, and we do project pre-preparation. And we assist the province to do all the necessary preparation activities so that they can achieve three things. Number one, the improvement of tenure. They can start dealing with a basic service upgrading, and they've got all the necessary documentation and work and pre-investigations required to do that. And then thirdly, there is the issue of livelihoods and looking at that. The other issues that are going on in that settlement, economic development, job creation, all of those, the activity that's going on in the settlement and how that can be reinforced. To date in Limpopo, we've rapid assessed all of the NASP municipalities, because there are 45/49 municipalities identified nationally. Five of them are in Limpopo. We've rapid assessed all of them. We've rapid assessed an additional 13 municipalities that the province has identified. We've got full reports on all of the settlements, the profiles, the nature of those settlements in Limpopo province. We've also done enumerations in all of the NASP municipalities in Limpopo province, so we have a fair sense how many people are in those settlements, what's their profile, what do they look like, will they qualify for subsidy, won't they qualify for subsidy. We have that mapped. We also have full information on what economic activity, what shacks are vacant, what is there a barber, is there, what activity is happening in that settlement, how people are creating jobs, what adult basic education is required there. And we've been in this year in a process of sharing that with the municipality. We've developed draft upgrading strategies, which the municipalities must take through their process of approval. We've developed a draft provincial strategy, which the province must take through a process of approval. But we pull together, and we do it all with the province and the local authority. So we don't go there, and the province and the municipal officials go with us. Plus, when we're dealing with settlements to do enumerations, you've got to engage with the community. So we work with the local councillors, and they take us to the sites. The case in point of Limpopo is that they have traditional authorities. You cannot go to site without permission. All of that gets sorted before we go. So we've got all of that documentation ready for Limpopo. We're in a position, therefore, to advise and assist Limpopo to factor all of that into their planning. And you should see we've assisted them with their APP planning for next financial year. All of this information goes into that. So the tenure work that they can do, tenure upgrading, that is underway. Where they need land for relocation, where they need land to purchase private land, where settlers have settled on private land, we've assisted them with that process. Where they can do basic upgrading, we've assisted them with all of that. So that's all built into their process of planning and programming. We're busy with the same process in the Free State. There's a bit of cleanup, sorting out, clarifying what's going on, where, how, that we're doing as well in the Free State. We started focusing our attention on the Mangaung Metro. We're assisting them to get to the point where they have a strategy. The rapid assessment has been completed in Bloemfontein completely, and we're busy going into enumerations and feasibilities jointly with them. We're doing similar thing in Northern Cape and similar thing in Rustenburg. And again, it's all on the back of having the relationship and the entry into the province and the entry into the municipalities. All of our examples, templates, documents, methodology that we've developed, we share back to the national NASP team. That NASP team does quality control on all of that information so that it's consistent for other provinces and for rolling out and replicating in the other provinces where the support is required. So in summary, Chair, we don't actually allocate and spend the money, the capital money for the provinces, but all of the behind-the-scenes prep work that needs to be done to get to that point, we assist the province and the municipalities with. And our main aim, which is the NASP aim, is around the Cabinet Lekgotla requirements and the Outcome 8 requirements. So we help them to get all of those elements in place. So that's on NASP.
The issue of spending. You are saying you don't spend as the HDA, you don't from your capital.
So we don't have capital money. All of our money
have.
Is support.
Okay.
So the capital money rests with the province, and it's the province's decision where they will spend the capital money. we give them all the background information, assist them to get it into their planning and programming so that they can make that decision going forward.
So I wanted to clarify that so that the department can tell us what is this 2% spent on by the provinces in terms of the reporting. You know, they report to you that they've spent 2%. Have you go and check what this 2% was spent on? Although we are not happy about the 2%, but we need to know what was spent on the 2%. Why they did not manage to come up with a better spending. But we know that we're not going to respond to that. But this 2%, as far as we know, CFO, by spending,
normally when they report, they report to the office of the COO in terms of their financial statements. So, Chair, for me not to lie to the committee, I think it's best that we ask the office of the COO, and as a matter of fact, I don't even know the 2% that they're talking about, or the Chair, maybe I might not listen. But now their report is actually sent to the office of the COO, and then for assessment and analysis. Those reports do not often come to us. We just transfer the money to them, and then they report back in terms of their financial statements.
Thank you. Yes. I just want, because we are here and we've had such an excellent response to what is happening, particularly in your assessment, you know, so clearly of the informal settlement area under this NUSP thing. I want to say some of us were privileged to be at a meeting on Monday organized by the Treasury, and where we had people from China, Brazil and India present. And in the presentation from Brazil, they speak about our attitude to informal settlements. And you know, most of the time we think, what a nuisance value this is. You know, there's something stuck there, and oh dear, we've got to do something about them. But our attitudes have got to change. And I was particularly taken with your response now, because that kind of detail is what we need. We need to know what we are working with, and particularly when you said we need to know the economic situation in the settlement, because that's exactly what they said. They're not nuisance value, these informal settlements. They're actually economic hubs that need to be developed. So I really want to congratulate you, and I hope you're going to go around to, I know it's a lot of work, but, you know, to assist the provinces and the departments, you know, to get up and running with information like this so that we can now move on stuff positive and not always be moaning and whinging and whining.
Thanks, Madam Chair. If I can just say on the point that Member Bowman has just raised, you know, we undersell ourselves as a country on that level, because in fact on the informal settlement stuff, I believe Brazil gets away with a marketing exercise that, because a lot of the stuff that we've done, pioneered, developed through the department, I think surpasses that, and I think we undermarket ourselves on that level. But let me ask our land GM to respond on the land question.
Thank you, Chair. There were a few questions that were raised with regards to land, and perhaps just to indicate that to date there has been some progress from the figures that the CEO has reported on. We are currently sitting on 6,896 hectares of land that have been released from the State Department. And maybe just to give a breakdown of where those are, we've identified land in Northwest, in Limpopo, in KwaZulu-Natal, in Gauteng, and in Free State. Members of the committee, you would understand in terms of the land that has been released from the various custodian departments, those have been released by virtue of the ministers signing off and agreeing that the land is going to be used for human settlement purposes. What we do next, I think, comes to the question that you're raising about the link between the land and the local planning initiatives and the IDPs and the special development frameworks. What we're seeking to do out of the 6,000 hectares of land that has been released is to work directly with the municipalities concerned to be able to begin to have a process through which this land can now be released for development purposes. In some of the instances, the latest parcels of land that were released in Northwest, the people are already occupying the land. So essentially what is required is tenure upgrading so that they can have title to the properties that they currently are owning. We are working with the local authority to establish it as a formal township and also in terms of the basic infrastructure upgrading. So it's a progressive process. It's unlikely that all of these 6,000 hectares would be reported as having housing on them, but our intention is that we'll be working progressively with the municipalities to see how they bring it into the pipeline of their housing targets that they might have. The research that is coming out of the assessment of the informal settlement, we hope, would be a key indicator as to where the demand for land for housing purposes is required. And clearly, by virtue of our mandate, we ought to be working with the local authority in terms of proactively planning for the infrastructure on those parcels of land before the housing top structure subsidies could come on board. In terms of the other question that was raised on the land purchase for cooperatives, to date, in terms of what we have in our portfolio, we haven't purchased any land that is either from a cooperative or earmarked for a cooperative. But our sense is that if we are going to go on an area-based approach, in other words, all these IPs that we've signed and the municipalities that are participating, we will have a clear sense of where the cooperatives are and what is required of them. As a result, the land that becomes available could be targeting various segments, be it cooperative or be it social housing or be it the subsidized housing. But in the end, the outcome, as the CEO was expressing, that in the end it can't be the same product as we've been seeing now. We are hoping for a much more integrated product, so we don't have the RDPs on one side, social housing on the other, and mortgage housing somewhere else. So the area based in partnership with the municipalities directly, there might be a better assembly of the development proposals as they come through. But at the moment, the land that we're getting released is from the national department. Some of the provinces are coming on board in terms of land which is their own, within their own departments. Local authorities, limited parcels of land there. There might be some land in the private sector, and indeed when we do go to the local areas, there could be private land, prime land, as one of the portfolio members was saying, within the urban areas. Our movement in those localities is restricted just because we don't have capital in that sense, but we hope that because of the partnership that we're establishing with the provinces and the municipalities, we could work with them to ensure that even in the purchase of those prime lands, the poor do not get left out in terms of the provision of housing in those localities. And that requires advanced work and programming to ensure that we don't lose the opportunities for the poor within these prime localities. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, what I've put up on the screen is just some pictures of the kind of planning that we're doing on the land that has been allocated, and it is within the SDF. It takes into account some of the local conditions. So just, again, to give the committee an indication of the kind of planning work that goes on with the local authority and in conjunction with the local authority on that stuff. If I could then ask our CFO to talk about some of the funding and financial and consultancy questions that she was asked about. We heard you on radio, Chair, so we prepared this question.
Thank you, Chair. To answer the question with regards to the consultants and also to whether the operating expenses, how the operating expenses are made up, the detail is actually on page 46, note 18, and I'm not going to bore you by reading all of that. But out of the $35 million that is spent on operating expenses, $5.6 million is spent on consultants. And I did a breakdown. What happens is in terms of the National Treasury classifications, internal auditors are classified there under. So 21% is spent on internal audit fees, 10% is spent on valuations, 32% is spent on technical support that we don't have in-house. The other is then spent on strategy and business consultants, such as helping with frameworks and policies, which is about 32% of that amount. If you want more details of how the rest of the $35 million is made up, as I said, the details are there on page 46. I hope I've answered your question on that.
Thank you, Chair. And then there was a question on staffing and administration, if our GM of Corporate Services can answer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the moment, we have 1% disabled staff members, and we're envisaging this year to probably get to the 2% and fulfilling our target for that. Thank you.
Chair, the last question.
Maybe not so much. Thank you very much for that. It is better than most other departments and entities and all of that. I just want to go back because it's now in my mind. The former person spoke on the land, and I just want to, if we release land, just for the sake of releasing land, I foresee problems in the future. Land should only be released, especially state land, should only be released to a specific development or project. So I'm just raising it here, Jefferson, and I would like us to maybe in other sessions to discuss this matter.
The land is acquired, is identified and acquired for human settlement development. That's the bottom line. So you can't acquire land and then you release it for something else. That land has to be released for human settlements development. So you know, municipalities, they tend to say they don't have land. So if the land, HDA has identified land and acquired that land, definitely that land should be released for human settlements development. So we don't expect any excuses from the local, from the municipalities. That is the mandate of HDA, Human Settlements Development.
Chair, just again to follow on with that comment. I mean, basically the department has been taking the position led by Mr. Cheney that one's got to focus investment in areas of focus by the government as a whole. And so the strategic infrastructure programs, the NUS programs, the mining towns program, all of those are indications of where one should be looking for land over a 5 to 10 year period. And that's essentially what we would like to be working on with the various programs of the departments and into the provincial and local authorities to start identifying, based on all those factors, of where population is moving, where jobs are, where transport is, where government funding and infrastructure investment is going to happen, what land you need over that period. It's taking time, but we are getting into agreements with provinces which are starting to say develop a land pipeline with us, which looks at that 3 to 5 year period. And hopefully over the next little while we'll be able to report that in time. I think the last question that was really asked was about marketing, Chair. I think probably one of the most frustrated people in the room is our marketing manager at the end there, who I've been saying we market based on what we've achieved. So we market by doing rather than by conferences or newspaper adverts or anything like that. And so, but our belief is that is starting to come home, and we are in demand. We're overextended in terms of the work that people are required to do. So we don't really have a marketing campaign as such, other than to publicize the work that we do with the people that we do it. Let me conclude, Chair, by saying that taking on from Member Bowman's comments, perhaps it is a good thing to try and be boring, because that means that you're incrementally doing your stuff. But none of this has been easy. A lot of it is hard work on the ground with very difficult environments. And I would just like to specifically say thanks to the department for their support in doing this, and to the committee for its support up to now.
Thank you so much. At least I want to call in there. Zange we create an elephant in the room. HDA is not an elephant in the room. So we don't regret. Thank you so much, Steve.